My name is Rick Castellini, and tonight I have a guest host with me, who is?
Bree Castellini, his daughter.
That's my daughter, and she is a technologist as well. She's a technology fiend, I should say.
Is technologist a word?
Yeah, it is. It's actually you can put that as a title on your business card, technologist. Mm.
That sounds made up. I would not put that on a card.
Look at all the words in the last 10 years.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say hashtag is officially a word now.
Exactly.
So I guess I can't.
Selfie.
Selfie
hashtag,
is a good word.
Twitter. Twitter used to be.
Well, Google's a word, too.
Now. Yeah, exactly. Well, Google was a word. Google.
Yeah, but it means something else now.
Yeah, and it was it's a play on the spelling of the real Google. But anyway, 241-8801, extension 1. It is January 1st, 2014, so Bree and I are here live tonight. So if you have questions, I know there's a lot of folks out there that probably are wondering what's live, what's not live today on KFM, but there's been a lot of live stuff going on. So it's great to have KFM volunteers coming in and working on the holiday, or as it were, volunteering on the holiday. So call us up, 241-8801, extension 1. And if you have any kind of new gadget or gizmo that you got over the holidays as a gift and you're still trying to figure it out, give us a call. We'll try to walk you through what to do with it. Otherwise, we're just going to gab about all things technology. And I always like to quiz my daughter, since she's quite a bit younger than I am, obviously, about what her take is on technology. And it always surprises me, some of the things that she comes up with. So we'll see. Oh, let's see. I'm getting a text message from Adam.
Is he coming?
Yeah, I'm not even going to bother with him. 241-8801, extension 1 is the phone number. So if you have questions or comments or anything, give us a call. 241-8801. The big news today is just yet another breach of security. This time it was Snapchat.
Snapchat is the dumbest app in the entire world. I'm so angry that it exists.
Did you change your password on yours? Because I know you.
I don't even think I have. I don't think I have a password. I don't think I have an account. I don't understand any of the Snapchat stuff.
Well, you have to have an account if you get the app and you're receiving messages. So you do have an account.
Well, I don't know where it's from. It might be connected to something else, but I.
And that's a great, great, great segue, Bree.
Oh, good.
About technology, because I think that when you tie, because you always get the opportunity with a lot of new services, instead of sign up with a new username and password, which a lot of people hate doing, you get an opportunity these days to do a universal sign in with either Facebook or Google. And there's a couple of other, Twitter will let you do that on some of their, on some sites, they'll have a Twitter sign in. Personally, as a technologist, I recommend against doing that, because if it's not the property of that service, like let's say, for example, Facebook is now part of Instagram. So, or they bought Instagram. So if you're a new Instagram user and you already have a Facebook account, yeah, sure, go ahead and sign in with your Facebook instead of make a whole new account, because I think it's under the same roof, it's the same company. But if I'm on a completely non-related Facebook site or Twitter site or anything, and they'd ask me to, do I want to sign in with my Twitter account or with a Facebook account or with a Google account, I don't do it. Simply because I think that if you have some kind of a breach, just like Snapchat did, and you're counting on them on keeping track of your security, but you're tying it also to another company, then the smaller company, I think, is going to lead into a security risk for your sign-in one. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
What do you tend to do, Bree? When you have those,
well,
have the opportunity.
I always do Facebook. Like,
so you
I immediately, just because I hate signing up for new things. I hate having new passwords to remember. It's way easier, and I don't sign up for that many things.
Okay.
Like if I have to sign up for something to get into the content or whatever, I'll just leave the website. And I mean, luckily, recently the internet has stopped doing the thing where, like, in order to comment or go further, sign up for an account. Like, nobody does that anymore. No one's going to sign up for an account. Nobody wants to sign up for an account. So although the Facebook integration will probably help some of those sites continue to do it, for the most part, you don't see that when it's required.
Yeah. And so, I think that that's what's going to hurt security in the long run, though, Bree, is that as people, as you mentioned, they're in a hurry, they want to try something out, they just tie it in with Facebook. if you go into your security settings with whatever service you use, Facebook, Twitter, Google, whatever, and see all the different things that are tied to that account, it's pretty scary. And again, the thing that scares me the most is if that smaller company has a breach and then there's some kind of way for them to get in a back door through your other accounts, it could be disastrous. So you got to be careful out there. But it's at 4.6 million usernames. And then the worst part is phone numbers.
I don't put phone numbers on anything.
Well, no, I think you have to have a phone number. I think this particular account has to have a phone number.
No, especially if you're connecting it to Facebook, because I don't have a Facebook. I don't have my phone number on my Facebook either.
Yeah. So
I don't put any information like that.
I don't know
on there.
Much about Snapchat at all. So all I saw was the big headline today. All right, 241-8801, extension 1. If you are a Snapchat user and you like the service, or you were one of the people that were hacked or think you were hacked, call us up and let us know what you had to go through. 241-8801, extension 1. I sent my daughter an email earlier today about a good little icebreaker here for tonight, and it was a report that Apple iPhone users are the smartest smartphone users.
Now, smartest, that might be a little bit. I'm reading the article right now because what it's trying, the only thing that it measures is brain teasers. So smart, just like IQ, does not necessarily mean that you're more intelligent. It just means they're quote-unquote sharper. They're more, and I mean, that makes sense because people who use iPhones generally use the rest of the suite of Apple products, which are generally people who are very design-oriented and are very creative. And it's basically, you know, always true that creative people are better problem solvers. And so when you're giving them brain teasers, creative people generally do better at those. And so because creative people generally use iPhones, because this is measuring basically how creative you are, of course they're going to win. I don't think that it's fair of this article on CNET to say iPhone users are the smartest, because once again, smart is a very relative term. And in this particular instance, smart is not necessarily being tested.
If you are curious about taking the little quiz, it's only about a 5 or 6 question quiz.
Seven.
Is it a 7 question?
7 brain teasers.
Oh, thank you. A 7 question quiz. I took it. I got 2 wrong. I had to guess a second time. I didn't guess, but I had to read it a second time. So they're pretty interesting questions. But if you want to go check it out, the address is tinyurl.com/mlbyny5. So I could give you a big long address, but I shortened that for you. tinyurl.com/mlbyny5. And you could go check it out. So if you're an Android user or a BlackBerry user or a Windows phone user or just a good old flip phone user and you want to see what the only bad thing about the test, I went and took it. Mm-hmm. They don't give you the results and they don't show you the results overall.
That's so weird. Well, I think it's probably because it goes to a third party to collect the data and do it themselves.
Yeah. So hopefully we're going to see those results in a more graphical format here soon, but we'll see what happens. 241-8801 extension 1, 241-8801 extension 1. The other iPhone related statistic that did come up after the holidays is that from the mobile shopping experience during Thanksgiving to Christmas, the iOS, anything with an iPhone or an iPad, had 80% more sales than the Android and the BlackBerry. And Android has way more installed base because of all the different tablets and Kindle Fires and the Nook, the Barnes & Noble Nook is also an Android. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty interesting but from a shopping standpoint, 80% of the shopping during the Christmas holiday season was done by iOS.
That's because it's got name recognition and they're pretty. And
No, not people bought them.
What do you mean?
People use their iOS devices to shop. 80% versus 20%.
That's really interesting.
So if you were sitting around in a group of 10 people, you know how to do that. You know what percentages are.
I understand percentages. Thank you.
241-8801 extension 1. 241-8801 extension 1 is a phone number. If you have a question about anything technology-wise, give us a call and we'll get you on the air. Google had a story about a week ago that they are going to open up the Google Glass mm-hmm. for a more wide more wide release. It's about a $1,500. They haven't dropped the price, but for the first year, it was for developers only, and you had to be pretty much.
Yeah.
We got our first phone call. You pretty much had to be.
I understand. Let's get the phone call.
Okay, we'll grab the call, and we'll talk about Google Glass.
Yep.
241-8801 extension 1. Hello, welcome to the tech show on Wednesday night. How can we help you? Hello. I always do that on the first call. Hello.
Hi.
There we go. Yep, I got you now.
Okay, good. I have a question. I'm wondering if you'll be able to answer. It has nothing to do with mobile units, but various programs that are used for Photoshop and managing and storing photos that you process online.
Okay, sure.
In the past, there are four or five different places I've gone, from PhotoVision to PhotoBucket, and Picasa has been one of my favorite for the past 5 years. And I noticed at the beginning of December, I think Google made an acquisition with Picasa, and whenever I log on, and this is through my Windows programming, whenever I log on, anything I want to process, I have to do through Google. And, you know, there was a couple windows that popped up stating that you can no longer revert back to an older Picasa program.
Right, right. Because they're merging it with Google Plus photos, yeah.
Correct. And I know how to set the security apps on it, but the question relating to Picasa specifically, I have several albums that apparently they resized all the photos, and this little pop-up window said all your photos have been resized to allow you more storage space, but they did it without my prompting, and none of the photos that I've housed there for the past several years can be enlarged beyond an 8x10 without pixelating and total distortion.
Right.
Would you know how, or is there a way to...
No, there is no way to... Once a photo has been resized downward, there is no way for it to be resized back upward without losing quality, as you're already experiencing. So, unfortunately, if they have resized your originals, then you've lost your originals.
Okay, so... I guess 5 years of work and 60-some albums, there's nothing except try to find the original photo on a flash drive or a thumb
drive. Exactly, yeah. And again, just like with anything, I always try to encourage people to back up. And if all of your information is just in one place, it's not backed up.
Right.
You got to have it in multiple places in case things like this happen.
What would you know of a site, or could you recommend one where they do not resize the photos?
Well, I think what's happened is because of their size limits, and if you've had quite a few albums up there, you've probably reached the size limit that Picasa Albums has given as a standard, which I think is like 10 or 15 gigabytes.
Actually, I'm not even halfway through, and I know that you can purchase more storage
space.
Right,
exactly.
So I haven't gotten to that point yet, but these recent changes have impacted my business, and I'm looking for an alternative where I can work on the original size of the photo that has been taken and maintain its integrity.
Right. Well, and I think the thing which you're going to want to do is you can still use Picasa. In fact, Picasa combined with Google Plus, they just came out with an update last week, which is called Picasa. I'm looking it up right now. It's called Picasa Photo Backup or something, and you can enable it or disable it, but it actually works pretty well. I just went ahead and let it do my auto. It's called Auto Backup, and it was just released last week, and it does do full-size photos, and it supports that. And space with Google is pretty cheap to buy, too, and so that's why I think it's still a good place to go, but just make sure your settings are all set up correctly for going forward.
I did see the backup, but it didn't appear to me that I had that I didn't have an opportunity to keep it a private folder, and that everything that was getting backed up would be visible on the web.
No! Everything goes up as private unless you set it otherwise.
Okay.
Yeah. No. They do at least have that as a default. Because that would really be a disaster if they put that auto backup on there. And a lot of people just let it go and don't even say yes or no. They just always say yes. And, yeah, if you put all your private photos up there, that'd be a disaster. No, it is private.
Okay. Oh, you've been so very helpful. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thanks for the
call.
Happy New Year. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye.
241-8801, extension 1 is the phone number, 241-8801, extension 1. And, yeah, it was a great call because of that new feature that was just released in Picasa, and I've been a big Picasa user for years and years. Adam first turned me on to it way back before it was even a Google product, and I'm glad they're continuing to update it and keep it going. And so give us a call back if you have any kind of question, 241-8801, extension 1. Hello, welcome. Whoop. That was kind of weird. We had a little blinking light and lost him again. That's all right. 241-8801, extension 1, if you have any questions about technology. But again, Picasa and this Google Auto Backup, they really are starting to integrate with Google Plus. There's old Adam. He did show up. And it does good. It does put up your photos private. But if you have a lot of photos, you're going to have to buy extra space. And so they don't charge a lot. I think I buy 80 gigabytes of space, and it's like $20 for the year or something like that. Let's try this phone again here. 241-8801, extension 1. Hello, welcome to the Tech Guy Show on Wednesdays. How can we help you?
Hi, I'm wondering, I have a Kindle, and, the book is really like 800 pages if I bought it in the bookstore. And so on Kindle, it's like, astronomical amounts. But it's individual stories. So I would want to be able to know how many pages in each chapter. And I don't know if books that you read on your Kindle do that at all.
They do. They do. In fact, they changed that about 3 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago. They used to put like the number of sections or something like that based on your screen size. But now when you're in your Kindle, if you go into your settings, you can actually tell it, and I think it does it automatically, to tell you the truth now, you can actually see what page you're on based on the page of the book. So that's...
Can you see how many pages in like a chapter?
Well, you'd have to... I mean, manually you could. You could if you had it went to the table of contents, sure.
Well, the table of contents gives each individual story. This is a Christmas anthology, and it's,
And it doesn't show the page number that the chapters start on?
Correct. It does not.
Okay.
It just shows each chapter, each book of the, each story of the book.
Yeah, then what you're going to have to do is go to chapter 1, go to chapter 2, and just subtract. But you're not going to be able to do it
It's not that much different than a real book, though. I mean, that's
in a real book, though, they'll tell you, page 1 to 7 is the first chapter.
Well, that's only if the table of contents does that. They don't mess with the table of contents. If the table of contents has the page numbers on the and the real book, the Kindle will, too.
It should.
Yes, okay. It should.
Yeah, because I thought I had gone into the bookstore and kind of looked at the chapters, and it had that. But now that you mentioned that, they may not have had the pages on that either. So
yeah, I'm looking at the book I'm currently reading on my Kindle. It doesn't even have a table of contents on this particular book. I might go real quick to another. Let me see.
But you said they're starting to change that. I mean, that's
here's
drawbacks.
One here.
Reading electronically, it's like, gosh, you want to know when the end of the chapter is, or,
Well,
I think iBooks does that. I seem to remember reading stuff in iBooks on my iPad, and it's saying...
Page numbers.
Yeah, it says 8 pages left in this chapter.
On your iPad, yeah.
Yeah, in iBooks for iTunes.
Yeah, it doesn't have it on the Kindle. I just wondered, that would be a real nice thing to have, just so you can gauge from that, but...
Yeah,
anyway,
I'm looking at
and love hearing your advice on things and different people's questions. So keep up the good work.
Well, we appreciate the call, and have a great day and Happy New Year.
You too.
Take care. Bye bye. 241-8801 extension 1. That's great. We're getting some New Year's calls today.
That's cool.
Adam, Happy New Year's.
Yeah, you too. You too.
Brianna, Adam, Brianna. You guys,
Brianna.
You know each other.
We're acquainted.
We are acquainted.
I just had to do that.
That's all right.
241-8801 extension 1.
Now I feel like we're more peers.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There you go.
But now that,
You probably haven't seen her for a while.
No, I haven't seen her since, high
school. 8 or 10
at
years.
At least, yeah, when she was in high
school. 7 years?
Now she's in college. I teach college.
She's graduating.
You're graduating.
I am
now,
graduating.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Graduating. Yeah. See, yep. So peers right there.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Once you get
right
that there. Far up. Yep. Cool.
All right. With 241-8801 extension one. We were talking about Picasa as you came in. We had a question about Picasa, and you probably heard the latter part
the
of that.
The last part about
did
the
you get,
storage space.
Did you do your update or get the automatic update where Google Plus, they're doing an auto backup?
Oh, really?
You haven't seen it?
No, I haven't seen it. I did do the up. I did an update very, very recently, but I didn't notice.
Yeah,
what
and they got
it,
this
ooh,
new.
No,
little,
I don't have that new icon.
Yeah, and that's the auto backup icon.
Well, that's great.
So it's pretty cool. It worked well. And uploaded like 6,000 photos over a couple days.
I keep all of my photos on a NAS drive, and so it doesn't even catalog the Picasa on the Mac doesn't work as smoothly as it does on the PC. So
gotcha. And they stopped support for Linux, which is kind of sad.
Right, and I imagine they might do the same with Mac too.
Someday,
it's about the same as far as stability and everything. Well, cool.
Very good.
What else are we talking about?
Well, we were just talking about Snapchat, and that was going to.
Do you use Snapchat, Brie?
Not willingly.
I hate it.
It's awful.
It's illegal
so
in my
annoying.
House.
I don't have it.
In my
I've
house,
never seen
it's
it.
Banned.
Brie showed it to me the other day. It was the first time I saw it on.
Yeah,
on
it's the most annoying app in the entire world.
I figure if you're using the internet in a way that you're trying to keep people from knowing how you're using the internet, then you're probably not using the internet for anything good, so...
And that's interesting. That's what you would think. And I heard a story. Right. It was well done story on NPR about a month ago about Snapchat. And they were actually talking with kids. And what these kids were saying is that it's not all sexting and bad stuff. But what
it's usually
a lot of
stupid faces.
Yeah, that's a lot of it. But a lot of kids are what they're saying today is that they're tired of sharing everything.
Yeah.
And they may not want to send a message of maybe they took a picture of a dog walking in the park.
Right.
And they just want to share it with one friend, but they don't want to necessarily text it.
Right.
Because they don't want, I don't know. To me, it doesn't make logical sense to me.
Yeah.
But
I think
it was kind of interesting.
I think that there is some sort of move that Facebook has to make or Twitter or somebody has to make that does make, I think Google has tried this, but nobody's using Google, but somebody needs to find a way to group your people into groups easier so that you can communicate with specific groups of people and specific friends in an easier fashion. I guess.
Facebook does that pretty well. Like I have groups where if I don't want people from home to see stuff, I'll just send to the people from Forest Grove.
But I don't think most people use that. I think
they
available,
don't.
And it's not real obvious that it's there when you friend somebody. You have to be very aware that it's there. It's not something where Facebook, as soon as you friend somebody, they don't say, which group does this person belong in? Mm-hmm.
Although,
Google does that, but nobody uses Google. So.
Instagram, though, just started doing Instagram Direct, which is basically Snapchat, except without the snappy pit.
Yeah, and Google, Facebook has one called Poke, but again, nobody uses it.
Oh, is it more than just poking someone?
Yeah,
now?
It's actually you send a message and it lasts for 10 seconds or whatever.
I did
Poke
not
has been
know.
On there for a long time.
I did not
does
know
yours
that.
Last only 10 seconds on
I don't
Instagram?
I think Instagram is just Instagram Direct where you just send.
So it's
kind of
like a Twitter direct
people.
Message or something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Basically, but for pictures.
See, and this goes to something that I talk about almost every month is fragmentation of communication.
Yeah, exactly.
And that to me, it's just mind-boggling and very annoying.
Yeah.
You know, I like for one thing, I don't accept text messages from anyone but family and friends.
Oh.
I never respond to any text messages that are not from family and friends.
Interesting.
Because to me, if I get a business person or a business colleague or a client texting me.
You're losing money.
It's not losing money. I'm losing time.
Right.
But that automatically lowers the level of expectation of the communication.
Right.
Because A, they think that I'm just available to send back a text message. Oh, yeah. Hey, how you doing?
Sure.
I'm doing great. Yeah. For you to get rid of this, do this. No, that doesn't work. Because then on text messages with 140 characters or whatever it is, it's going to be a 20-minute conversation.
I totally understand. Yeah.
You know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And if somebody tries to Facebook me, that doesn't happen because I don't use that.
Right.
If somebody tries to Twitter something on direct message, I may see it within a month.
Yeah.
You know, it's just... It's the phone is still there for direct communication.
Exactly.
And I still think the phone is king when it comes to business.
Yeah.
I just, that's just my own old fashioned.
Well, even then, I mean, it's,
Like,
I
do
mean,
you respond to text messages to,
to students? Yeah.
You do?
Yeah, I do because
any time of the day or night?
Well, no, it does. I don't drop everything into it. To me, that's what text messaging is about. It's like saying to somebody, when you get a chance, can you respond to this?
Mm-hmm.
So if they ask me, when is this assignment due? I don't want them calling me. Mm-hmm. I don't want those phone calls. I don't want to deal with that. And I really don't want to deal with those emails because I don't read my email enough to do that. But I don't mind a text saying, when's the assignment due, Cochran? And I've texted right back to him.
I guess for me, and Bree, jump in on the conversation. To me, text message is a more... is a less formal form of communication.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I think that the potential for text messaging to open that informal communication
right.
open wider.
Right.
AKA we had a big article in today's Sentinel.
Yeah.
I think that
right.
it's a slippery slope.
Well,
thought?
I'm sorry.
So thoughts on whether or not I think texting is too informal?
Yes. For doing business or professional
I think it depends.
Communication.
I mean, because a lot of people have like two phones, a personal phone and a business phone in some cases. But I don't think, I think it all depends on the language you use. I mean, just like email, you know, I had to go over because I was a mentor for a freshman class in college this year. And one of the first things I had to talk to them about was email etiquette because mm-hmm. it apparently... what they were doing this summer when they had to send in their first essays was that they just sent like here to our professor. They just emailed our professor with nothing in the body of the mm-hmm. email and just attached the essay.
Mm-hmm.
And because that's what they would do to a friend. If a friend wanted something, you just attach it and send it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to give them a whole speech about email etiquette. You don't just throw something at your professor. He doesn't know who you are. You need to be all that stuff. So I think the same thing goes for text messaging. If you give people the understanding that you will respond to them at some point, mm-hmm. even if it's not drop everything and, you know, immediately respond, I think that it's fine. I think people are too freaked out about new technology and, oh gosh, it's going to ruin everything. It's not professional enough. But I think that if you maintain a professional demeanor and set expectations for the people who are not friends and family for you, that, you know, they understand when you will be responding or what kind of things you will respond to. I think at that point, I don't think it's too informal at all.
It's a good point.
Too, it depends on the industry you're in. I mean, you're mm-hmm. in a service industry where everything that you do is helping people. And I wouldn't spend, like you said, 25 minutes to write in 140 characters.
Well, this is
what you have to do to solve.
Well, let me put
problem.
It this way. Would you text your plumber?
No.
That I have a leak.
No, and if I was a plumber, I wouldn't text my clients either.
And if I'm if you're a doctor, would you text your doctor, my nose is bleeding?
Exactly. No.
Would you agree?
Oh, I'm just imagining all of these scenarios.
But here's the situation.
Do people do that?
Yeah, well, I think if you give them the opportunity, they will.
Well, that's why you don't text your clients. Like, that's why when you're a plumber, you just don't mention text messaging.
The thing is, people see your cell number,
uh-huh.
and they think it's an open invitation that, oh, I got a cell number, I'm going to text him.
But here's another situation though. What if it's a doctor who called in a prescription for you? You go, you find out the prescription isn't ready,
mm-hmm.
and you call the office and you just get
the answering service
day off, the answering service or whatever. If a doctor offers that ability to say, "Here's a texting number," and we deal, you know,
if they say yes,
that's what I'm talking about.
If I
wouldn't do it unsolicited. No.
Exactly, that's
but
all
if
I'm
they
saying.
They have a service
that's what
available
I'm
through
well,
texting.
Well, if people are sending you
it.
Unsolicited text messages, just don't respond. That's
my
policy is like if somebody I don't know or don't like or someone who's annoying me is texting me or something or Facebooking me or whatever the case may be, I just refuse to respond.
Right.
Yeah.
If they don't get it at that point and get upset, I have not given them any indication that was an acceptable behavior. Therefore, I am not at fault.
That's all I'm saying.
I also don't know. Another thing is it's courtesy because I don't know whether they're using a Net 10 phone or what's the other one? The pay-as-you-go. Those phones where texting still eats up minutes, still eats up time. I mean, it's just not... I think it's bad form to do that. Yeah.
Anyway, that's my soapbox.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
241-8801 extension 1. If you agree with me, disagree with me, disagree with any of us, give us a call.
I saw that. I'm sad that I won't be there to see.
I thought of Adam and I.
Yeah.
Adam and I used to go out to the technology shows in Vegas, and this year there's always about a few weeks before.
They finally made a TV.
Or is it going on? It starts this week.
Well, the press week. The press stuff starts in the next day or so.
But this year, the big deal is Samsung's new 110-inch 4K TV.
Right, which if you
figure... At the low price of $152,000.
Yeah.
It does what?
It's just a 110-inch 4K TV.
What's 4K
mean? I was going to ask Brianna if she knew what it was.
Oh, really?
I I don't Adam work does, with yeah. hardware.
Tell us what 4K is.
4K TV is the new next thing in TV. It's four times the resolution of a standard definition. Or, of an, I'm sorry, of an
of
HD,
high definition.
Of an HD TV. When you go see a movie, just if you want to see, everybody's seen the quality of 4K. They just don't know it. But the new digital projectors, pretty much anything that you've gone to go see is now in 4K.
4K.
And I remember higher than 4K. I don't think there's a need for it. So 4K is probably where they'll end. They'll probably have to start dealing with 3D.
They're not going to stop.
You don't think so?
They won't
stop.
Why
would you do anything higher than that?
Why would they go any higher than HD? HD is pretty darn good.
HD is good, but it's still, once you get up to a certain screen size, and it's, you know,
I remember you and I walking around CES.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say.
We were at the Panasonic. We were at the Panasonic press.
How long ago was this?
This was at least 8 years ago, years ago.
Yeah.
And they were just showing the HD flat screen stuff. And Adam said to me, he said, Rick, this is too clear.
Yeah, it's he too said, sharp.
It's too sharp. It's hurting my eyes.
I feel your pain.
And that's what it was.
And
that was
6 or 8 years ago, 10 years ago.
It wasn't that it was too realistic. It was that it was too artificially enhanced. And mm-hmm. the sharpness wasn't real. But to get a nice, you know, film quality projection, I like 4K. I really do.
They have one
at Best Buy if anybody wants to take a look at it.
I think for projections and for big theaters,
oh, yeah.
when you're spreading out those pixels,
yeah.
that's where you do see the enhancements on
right.
it. If you're at home on a 30-inch, 40-inch TV, you're not
going
to see a big difference.
Go 4K smaller than 60 inches.
That's right.
There really isn't. So,
but you're going to start hearing about that. And,
oh, yeah.
and you do, as you mentioned, you see it in the movie, says it's going to be whatever the next big movie, Frozen, in 4K.
Yeah.
You know, 4K HD, or mm-hmm. no, it's not called HD, it's 4K.
Yeah.
And if you're going to start seeing monitors on computers.
Yes.
That are going to say they're 4K.
Right.
And that just means that they're super high resolution,
yep.
is basically what that is.
Yeah. That's all it is.
But anyway, that was kind of a funny one there because of the CES.
But you know what? This is the thing is TVs, the size of the TV, though, that is the first 110-inch TV as well. From what
is
I
it?
Understand. Yeah.
Didn't we see 100 inch?
We saw 104 inch.
Oh, okay.
So, this is not, so now once
we've got a little bit bigger.
We're the size of a projection screen now.
That's right.
So really right. it's.
See, I don't watch TV.
You can
on
either
TV
buy.
Anymore.
Yeah, you can either buy a $1,000 projector or a $100,000 TV and you get the same quality.
There you go. That's a hard decision.
Yeah,
that's a really hard decision. All right, 241-8801 extension 1. 241-8801 extension 1. So Bree, for you for 2013,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to put you on the spot here. I should have sent you a text message about this.
Yeah, that would have been helpful.
But in 2013, and you can think about it if you need to, and Adam, think about it
okay.
too. What do you think was the biggest technology, either advancement or story? And we're going to push security out of it. We're not going to talk about Snowden and the NSA.
Oh, we're not?
No, because okay. that's so, too obvious.
Yeah.
That's okay. pretty obvious.
All right.
So think, and if you want me to answer first, I will.
Give you, I can't even think of anything.
Oh, gosh. Come on, you guys.
I can think of stuff. I just, like.
To me, I think it's the continued from 2012,
mm-hmm.
and that is the decreasing reliance on computers.
Right.
And that's the biggest
increasing
thing.
Reliance on what?
On mobile, tablet, and smartphones. And that's where a lot of people are starting to go that don't need to do heavy-duty work.
Right.
If you don't need to do heavy-duty work, why have the complexity of a computer that requires a lot of maintenance, requires a lot of extra knowledge to learn, or even if you're just paying $1,200 for a laptop that you're going to do email on? And I see that a lot. And yeah. I don't understand why you're buying a $1,200 computer just to do email.
Right.
And because so to me,
like
that's
the
big thing.
Because they're nervous about tablets because they're harder to type on.
You can get a keyboard.
I know, but people don't know that. Because the people who are buying laptops to just do email are not the kind of people who are like, oh, I can just get, you know, a USB or
Bluetooth keyboard.
Keyboard. Those aren't the type of people.
But they're also tend to be the type of people that don't like to spend a lot of money. They don't like to waste money.
And yeah, but they don't research well because they don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. If you don't know something exists, like if you honestly just didn't even consider it,
mm-hmm.
then...
Well, then that's the fault of where they're shopping too, because supposedly you're supposed to be educated where you shop versus being pushed to the most expensive laptop in the store. And that's what happens.
Do you understand how capitalism works, Dad? Yeah. Do we need to have a conversation about that?
But,
I guess, like, I don't really pay attention. I'm not a hardware person. I don't really pay attention specifically to like those kinds of things. I'm still very impressed with the iOS redesign. And
are you liking it?
I think that it looks cleaner. I saw actually an interesting video the other day about how...
And Brianna's referring to the update Apple did to iPhone, the user interface, the icons you see, the way you interact with your iPhone or your iPad.
Mm-hmm. But what I was seeing the other day, I watched this video called... it's a video series called Everything is a Reboot, where it basically looks at something current but shows how it's been done before, even though people are like, oh, it's such a big deal. And they were talking about the Apple redesign and how it was really interesting to watch the progression, because when things were first brought, like technology was first made and computers were first made, folders looked like little file folders, you know. Right. So there was like the real, I don't remember how we,
I forget that
to
word.
It.
Do you remember that word?
It too.
But it's like a real world reference.
Yeah.
That right. People, so like people would see a file folder on their computer and go, oh, probably things are in there. But how this new redesign is the next step, because now people are familiar enough with technology and computers that they don't need those real life references, you know. Less people use manila folders now. People just use folders on their computers. So folders as a term is just as useful now. And so they were talking about how the Apple redesign really got away from things like that.
Okay. Yeah. That's...
So it's more sleek and design-based, and they don't have to worry so much about making it so people can recognize it who aren't familiar with technology. There's less cool. of a need to do that.
I like that.
And
I
also
like...
I can use iBooks on my computer now. I'm quite excited about that.
Yeah. As a student, right?
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't read your fiction on electronic books, do you?
Not generally. I have two or three right now.
Do you really? Some fiction books that mm-hmm. you're actually, I mean, that you want to read for pleasure?
Yeah, because I get iTunes gift cards. And
so you're
I
using them for that.
There.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, that's new for you, because you usually like to hold a book.
And I prefer not to do that, but sometimes, you know, when the mood strikes me, or if I've already got the first book on iBooks anyways. Like, I start out reading one fiction book in a class, and then a second book comes out. I'll just buy it on there, so I have cool. everything together.
We have about 15 more minutes, so if you have a question about anything technology or want to comment on some of the things we talked about, or if you have something that you thought stood out in 2013 technology-wise, or something you're looking forward to seeing in 2014, let us know.
Right.
241-8801, extension 1.
Okay. I have some observations. I don't know that I have a news story
okay.
as much as an observation, and that right. is that I think that 2013 was the first year that I think everyone was aware of what was going on the web, and everyone was talking. Not
yeah,
just
meaning.
Well, I mean, like the stuff that's going on the internet yeah. became main talking points on TV. Just whether it's pop culture, news, okay. everything. Everybody started talking about it. We had everything. You can pick anything. You can pick the twerking. You can pick the Snowden
stuff. But twerking
stuff.
Was real world, though.
No, that's not
but
what
it was
about.
Popularized
but
by the internet.
Popularized
yeah.
by the internet. Nobody would have talked. I mean, it would have lasted a day.
It's true.
There's one of those words.
Another one is, yeah, another one, just all of the different memes that go on, the sigh or the, you know, all these things that happen.
You think it crossed
been
over.
Popular. I mean, we've always had memes. We've had Mr. Whipple, don't squeeze the Charmin. We've had, you yeah. know, stuff all, we've always had memes.
Where's the beef?
Those things have always existed. But this is the first time that I know that everybody was looking to the internet for what's happening in the real world, instead of saying, oh, there's a silly thing going on the internet and some people know it and some people don't.
Mm-hmm.
It became so ubiquitous that
the internet is mainstream now.
Yeah, I would say the internet is finally mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not necessarily a good thing. But I think when we saw pop culture adopting it mm-hmm. so much, I think that's when it became more mainstream, to where, you know, everybody's aware of it.
That sounds like a
no matter how old they are, no matter whether they're, you know,
that sounds like a communication professor's observation. That's good.
Yeah, maybe that's one thing I thought. The other thing I thought about too is another observation, and that is that I think that we saw a little bit of a slide from Apple this year,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of sad to see that. You know, but
so you
but
really
I think
we
saw a little bit of a slide from Apple. I don't think.
See, I just I can't. I'm not
I don't
saying see
they're
it.
Falling. I'm not saying they're failing, but I don't see. I don't know. I think that...
See, and I have to disagree with that. And then
okay.
we've had
sure.
this discussion. I've had this discussion with other people. When you look at I think it's part of our expectation.
Right.
When you look at every one of us in here, I think, have an
sure.
iPhone 5.
Yeah.
Is that right? Do you
right.
have 5?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Look
or
at
no,
the,
4. Yeah, 5. Yeah.
Look at the size of that darn thing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what else can you do? Sure. I mean, we can't have paper-thin phones yet.
Yeah. I'm not talking about that they didn't release a bigger, better thing or they didn't astound us. I'm saying that people, they just haven't, what do I want to say? People don't expect that from them anymore.
Yeah.
People have kind of said, well, Steve Jobs is gone. We don't really expect Apple to do that.
I think they're still reeling from that. But on the flip side, though, they just released their MacBook Pro. The Mac Pro.
Mm-hmm.
And Brown, have you seen the Mac Pro?
I haven't really.
Look up Mac Pro. If you have not seen it, it's an amazing piece of technology.
Here's one thing that Apple did do right with it. I just saw a thing on it today. Did you see the iFixit?
Yes, where they tore it apart.
They tore it apart, and they said it's actually built to be repaired, which the MacBook Airs weren't.
That's a first.
Yeah.
And the other thing, though, that happened is with the Mac Pro, it's a very expensive machine. The Mac Pro, if you've not heard of it, is a highest end computer that Apple sells.
Usually around $4,000.
Starting at $3,000 to $4,000 and going up pretty quick from there. But what it's built for people that are doing high-end movies, high-end graphics, and other, what else would you say they're doing? Yeah, that's it, Brie.
I don't understand.
It's this high. It's nine
inches.
Oh,
is it like a CPU?
Yeah, that's round. That's the computer.
Yeah. And it's round.
So, and you just need a screen?
Yeah, you just plug in. And you can plug multiple screens into it, like 10 screens if you want to. I mean, it's amazing. But if you look for a comparison of new Mac Pro versus old Mac Pro, Brie, and you'll even see more and be more impressed.
Yeah.
But anyway, the other thing I thought that was interesting, and I think this is what Apple is doing right, but people don't see it, is the hacker said, boy, that's an expensive machine. Let's try to build our own with the same kind of specs.
Right.
They couldn't get quite to the same specs, but they were at $2,000 more than what you could buy it from Apple.
Right.
And that's usually a knock against Apple, or people that knock against Apple is usually price.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I thought that was another interesting
point.
Yeah,
and I think that's true. When you compare apples to apples,
I'm becoming more and more an Apple fanboy.
Yeah. Well, no, here's the thing. When I say that we begin to see a slide from Apple, I don't mean that we aren't impressed by the products or that they're not stable, but I started to see my phone started to do a few Android-y things this year after the update. And if you had an Android, I can't remember. Did you ever use it? Okay, Android works.
I bought the Nexus 7 just to see what it did.
This is the way Android works, is it works beautiful in the first 3 months you buy it.
Okay.
Then it'll get a few updates, and then they release the next generation of their OS, and they basically ignore whatever phone you have.
Mm-hmm.
And then over the next 6 months, it starts getting a little weird. And then over the next six, by the time you're due for an update, you're begging people to take your phone or to get rid of your phone. but because it's just so unstable, you try to answer it, and it's sluggish, and it's had a bunch of updates that it wasn't supposed to get because they just put them out there across the board. And so I started to see a little bit of that from Apple, things where my phone just didn't respond as fast as it did before the updates. They've slowed down the Wi-Fi in it after the updates, things that seem intentional to me because my son just bought a 5S and the Wi-Fi just downloads stuff without any problem. It's just super fast on there. And and Android does that too often. And that's a little bit about what's happened with my iPhone in the same amount of time.
So. Okay, I got you. Now, I'm showing, since Adam brought that up about the updates and about Android updates, and we've talked about this in the past about the fragmentation of Android.
Right.
This, I don't know if either one of you have seen this infographic. I'm showing Brie and Adam in the studio here. HTC, one of the companies that makes Android smartphones, put together an infographic on how Android OS updates get released and what kind of things have to fall into place. And here's where, again, I think that Apple, because of the simplicity, there was a statistic just 2 weeks ago or less that Apple announced that now fully every iOS device in the world, out of all iOS devices in the world, 77% of them are running iOS 7.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't happen. Here's Android, where they've got at least six different versions that are currently being used on the Ender number handsets. If you went to your friends that have Android handsets and ask them to look at what version they're using, first of all, they don't know.
Right.
Second of all, you got to hunt to figure out where it is. You have to do that in Apple too, I guess. But if you have six friends, more than likely they're going to have six different versions of the Android operating system.
But that's kind of true with Apple too. If you update iOS 7 and you have an iPad 2, you have an iOS 7 and you have an iPad with the Retina display, and you have iOS 7 on one of the newest iPads, you're actually going to have three different versions of iOS 7 running on that, because they cripple various features depending on what the phone. You don't have any Siri at all in an iPad 2.
But they never did.
Well, yeah, right. But it's still iOS 7. Now, that's what I'm saying.
But that's a 3-year-old device now.
Sure, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying not the same iOS 7. It's slightly different depending on which device you have. So it's similar to what Android does, but it's theirs something different with each one. They do release a...
I'll let you go on that.
Like,
one.
We should have a iOS 7A and iOS 7B and an iOS 7C.
But see, that's the beauty.
They are different.
That's the beauty. They don't do that to you. They don't do that to the user.
But that's the same as if Android just didn't tell people.
Well, then they have KitKat and they've got Lollipop and they've got this.
No, I totally understand.
You know,
I'm not defending
Android.
Naming
candy?
That's what they name all of their systems after. A snack food.
Yeah, it used to be a dessert. Now it's snack food.
Yeah, it's they've had.
What's the copyright deal with that? I can't imagine.
They're doing a cross promotion with KitKat.
With KitKat.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, their newest one
seems complicated.
It's your capitalism. It is complicated. No, they had jelly bean. They had ice cream cone or
ice cream sandwich.
Ice cream sandwich.
Yeah.
They had what else did they have?
They had the donut one. What was the donut?
Gosh,
anyway,
it's
some pastry. Anyway, there's they've had several there.
What is the Maverick?
Oh,
is that
Eclair
the latest
or something?
That's
like
the latest
Maverick
system for Mac.
I'm curious
how they
changed that. Yeah,
Maverick.
They stopped naming after cats.
That's because everyone made fun of them.
That's another Android issue.
I don't know.
No, they made fun of them because it got up to lion and then went down to mountain lion.
Yeah.
Even though mountain lion's the newest, they're like, mountain lions are clearly not better than lions.
Right.
So what is going on? Yeah, there was a
They
huge...
should have gone to saber-tooth tiger.
Or tiger with friggin' lasers.
Yeah, I think they should have just built on the absurdity and just went all out.
Yeah, so now they changed it to beaches, which is kind of interesting. All right, 241-8801, extension 1, 241-8801, extension 1. That's a good discussion. I think it's fun talking about the various things.
I don't think Apple's dead. I don't think Apple is by any means as much of a mess as Android is. I just saw a little bit of a slide backwards this year that I was a little discouraged about.
No, I understand. There's a lot of people that have said the same thing. But that's why I like to try to talk about what they have done and really put out in the forefront of, maybe they haven't made gigantic strides. And and we've seen that in the last 3 years where the iPhone 4 to the 4S.
You're right.
Not a lot of difference.
But wasn't Mavericks
5,
way
5S.
Slower on... Well, you don't have any... Do you have any computers that don't have a solid-state hard drive that you put Mavericks on? Okay. Mm-hmm. On my iMac, late 2009 iMac, it's severely cut down the speed after I...
How much RAM do you have on that iMac?
Well, now it's 8 gigs, but...
Wow.
But it was... I had to put 8 in it to make it run. It was 4 just fine, which I've never had with a Mac upgrade before.
Right.
I've always upgraded it, and it's always just run
that
normal.
That is interesting.
For day-to-day things, if there's some new feature...
What
I
processor
use,
is on your iMac? Is it a dual core?
It's quad core.
Oh, it is
It's an i7,
On your 4-year-old Mac?
Yeah.
Nice.
It was like top of the line.
And it still runs Maverick slow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Brianna, how's Maverick's running on your MacBook? Did you see any big speed differences between it and the previous?
Not particularly. I mean, if there's any speed issues on my computer, I always just assume that it's because I have too much crap on my hard drive.
Yeah, disk space is a problem for Bree.
Although I have 91 gigs right now.
I'm thinking about reformatting mine. I don't have a disk space problem ever, but I'm thinking about reformatting mine or whatever, reinitializing it.
I have 93 gigabytes right now.
That's
a lot
good.
For me.
That's a very good amount for you.
Out of
750.
Yeah, out of 750.
Wow.
She's a video gal. And music. Music.
No, music takes up 0%.
Compared to your video, yeah.
Wow. So why don't you use cloud services or NAS stuff?
Because then I still have, if I want to use the clips that I have. No, it's not laziness.
Oh,
it's unnecessary because if I want to use the clips, I have to then re-download them into the program.
I understand.
Which is silly.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's silly.
It is.
Okay.
It's extra time.
It's unnecessary extra time because I still have to put it back in the program and then all the dates are.
She's also a digital hoarder.
I am a digital. I'm a hoarder anyways.
Yeah.
All right. 241-8801 extension 1. I wouldn't be a show and the tech guys if I didn't talk about, and this kind of goes with the end of the year thing.
Okay.
The Google Chromebook.
Yes.
Google Chromebook is, if you have not heard of it, and it seems to be gaining momentum. We're starting to see it more and more in schools. Here locally in Grand Junction, our Catholic school system has a, their librarian manages an entire cart of Google Chromebooks, and they use Google Apps for school up there at Holy Family. And they're having great luck with it. And the reason why is because, as you just talked to Bree about, it's all cloud-based.
Yeah.
The librarian does not have to format things. She doesn't have to put on antivirus. She doesn't have to put in permissions for the first graders versus the third graders.
Right.
They can manage it all through the web. Mm-hmm. When a particular student logs in or out,
sure,
they log in or out with their own account.
Right.
So whatever they have in Google Chrome, their bookmarks, their documents, those kinds of things, they all come up. Yep. But once they log out, that system is clean for the next person.
Right.
That's actually a really good idea.
It's a fantastic idea, and it has a full keyboard. And we were talking.
Is it just because it's privately funded?
Yes.
Holy Family.
Oh no. I'm sure that they chose that over trying to do Windows and that kind of thing. Mm. Plus, they're real small and thin. They only cost wholesale or retail. They only cost $199 for the laptop.
Oh, that's actually not bad.
And probably on a wholesale basis, I imagine they get some kind of discounts.
Oh, yeah.
Or
yeah.
You know, on a mat, what do they call it, not a mass basis, but when you're multiple, when you buy
multiple licenses,
bulk.
Yeah, bulk.
When you buy bulk, yep, it's probably a little bit cheaper. But Google Chromebook is, if you are a computer user that is 99% on the web, and all you're doing is paying bills, you're doing your Facebook, you're doing email, you're browsing the web, maybe doing some online banking. I guess I already said that, paying the bills. A Google Chromebook is awesome because it cannot get a virus, cannot get spyware. It is very inexpensive, $199 to $249 at the most, and it's a wonderful device and has a full keyboard.
Right.
So something to think about.
Sounds terrific.
And apparently they sold quite a bit of them during the holiday season.
They must have, because Microsoft really went after them with that last ad campaign right before Christmas.
So right.
They must have been a little bit of a competition.
Well, so. Now, I'm going to ask both of you guys, since you as an instructor, as a professor in college, Brianna as a student, I'll ask Bree first, do you see a lot of folks using, Brianna, either the new, what are they called from Microsoft, the Surface?
Surface.
The Surface tablet things or iPads as they're in classrooms versus laptops? Are you starting to see a greater amount?
I've never seen a tablet in a classroom. I think I've seen one once.
So most of the time,
but also
you're seeing
most
laptops.
People don't really bring laptops to class either. I mean, because I'm at a tiny liberal arts school, and most of what we do, I guess I see laptops in my design classes now, but yeah, for the most part, no one.
You're not seeing a lot.
No, nobody really brings their stuff.
And you're not even seeing Are you seeing the Surface? You know what the Surface is? The Microsoft tablet, thin.
I've seen it.
But you're not seeing it in classes.
Yeah.
Adam?
Laptops are pretty ubiquitous throughout Mesa. I think that it's most majors, they allow them. There's some teachers that get annoyed by them, but they're old. the tablets are there. iPads are certainly there. It's hard for me personally because everything I teach is based on a full-blown Mac. You have to use the Adobe software, and you can't do that on anything besides a full Mac. But as far as the students taking notes and just doing stuff, I it's very common to do that on an iPad or a tablet.
But they usually
have a full keyboard with it too.
Okay.
Very few people are typing out notes with the on-screen keyboard.
Right. Any of them taking notes with a stylus and writing out notes on their iPads?
No.
No, so you're not seeing that.
Because it doesn't index right. It just doesn't work.
Can't
so they want to be able to search it. They want to be able to find the notes. So they're typing it out, and it's faster, I think.
Yeah, it's true. My generation types faster than we write.
Yeah.
So that kind of stuff isn't really useful to us.
Very good. Well, we come to the end of another Tech Guy show. We appreciate the calls we've had tonight, and happy New Year to everyone again. Adam, happy New Year. Bree,
you too.
Thanks, guys, for coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And
maybe next year we'll broadcast from space.
There you go.